This is the Norris Group's Real Estate Investor Radio Show, the award-winning show dedicated to thought leaders shaping the real estate industry and local experts revealing their insider tips to succeed in an ever-changing real estate market. Hosted by author, investor, and hard money lender, Bruce Norris.
Hi, thank you for joining us. My name is Bruce Norris, and today our special guests are Matt McFarland and Amanda Hahn. Matt has over 20 years of experience in public accounting as a CPA and tax strategist. He has worked for both the Big Four and regional CPA firms. Amanda has over 18 years of experience as a CPA with special emphasis in real estate, self-directing investments, and individual tax planning. Amanda has extensive Big Four public accounting experience, and you can catch her book on Bigger Pockets, Tax Strategies for Savvy Real Estate Investors. Matt and Amanda, we welcome you to our show.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thanks, Bruce. It's good to talk to you again.
I actually really, really enjoyed our last public presentation. That was fun.
That was fun. That was a good time.
It was a really good group. You guys did a great job. So we hear a lot about people who don't pay any federal tax. So what income bracket allows that to occur under the current tax laws?
It's not a straightforward answer, believe it or not. So there's, you know, currently there's actually seven different tax brackets for federal tax purposes. Lowest is a 10%. And for a single person, that's, income up at about $9,300. A married couples, that's income up to $18,000. But they're still going to, even at a 10%, they're still going to pay a little bit of taxes. So it all kind of comes down to whether deductions are exceeding their income. Another thing, currently, people who are in the 10 or 15% bracket who have, after excluding their capital gains, some of their capital gains can be tax-free if they fall, the rest of their income is in the 10 or 15% bracket. So that's one of those kind of quirky ones where you may not pay zero taxes overall, but you might be paying zero taxes on some of your capital gains income. So that kind of works out nice for some people.
Okay. You hear these rumors that 40 or 50% of the people pay no federal income tax. So I guess I wanted to deal with that first and see if there were, you said there were currently seven brackets, tax brackets. How many are there on if the tax laws get passed the way they are looking now?
Yeah. So it depends on which one you're looking at. You know, right now there's just a kind of 30,000 foot level, right? There's a House bill that's been out there that they just passed, I think, a couple days ago. The Senate has their own version that my understanding are trying to get it approved by Thanksgiving. And then if they don't, the two, you know, House and Senate don't agree on it, then Congress has to come together and put together a joint plan. So, you know, under the House one that just passed, there's going to be four income tax brackets. Under the Senate one, I'm looking at still seven different ones, you know, different, slightly different rates. The actual brackets aren't totally known yet in terms of how much income is in each bracket, but yeah, so basically it kind of looks like, you know, anywhere from four to seven.
Okay.
That's kind of what we're seeing now.
Okay. Currently, our top federal tax bracket is what?
Yeah, the top federal tax bracket right now is 39.6%. And that under the House bill, that would not change. Under the Senate, it's supposed to drop a whole 1.1% to 38.5. So thank you for that, you know.
When does it kick in at the current environment or tax laws? When does that 39.6 kick in now?
Yeah, so right now for a married couple, it kicks in at about $467,000 of taxable income.
Okay, and is that significantly higher in the new law changes?
I don't think it's significantly higher. I mean, it's a little bit different. I don't have that number in front of me, but I want to say it's still in the $400,000 range. But I could be wrong because I've got some numbers in front of me, but it looks like this one's the Senate one. So under the Senate plan, the 38.5% top bracket kicks in at the 35% bracket kicks in over 400. The 38.5 doesn't kick into a million. So that may be the case with the House one, too. I think they were trying to spread it out. But
okay, well, that makes sense to me. That okay, so there's like a 4.6% difference between the two plans, the current one and the other one, up to $1 million anyway. So that's kind of what I had heard. So when does it Or when does that kick in? Is the state of California mimicking the Fed as far as the dollar amount when the highest rate kicks in?
We really haven't heard anything from the state of California in terms of rate changes. You know, for state tax rates, actually, California does not follow federal. So, you know, if you recall, a couple of years ago, California raised our top rate to close to 12%. The million, you know, it's called the millionaire tax. So there hasn't been any talks of changes of increasing rates, at least as of today, for California purposes.
Okay. What about the Obama tax?
Bruce, to take a step back there, I did find, as I was looking at some stuff, I did find that the actual, under the House bill, the top rate does start at, for a married couple at $1 million. So the same as the Senate, for a single person, it's 500. So it's probably similar under the House bill where the 35% bracket carries most of what people are currently paying at 39.6%. And then the top rate doesn't kick in until you're making over $1 million under the new plans.
Okay. And what about the Obama tax? Is that 3.6%?
Yeah, 3.8%.
3.8%. I was trying to get a discount, you know, come on. So 3.8%, when does that currently kick in? At what level of income? And is that going to disappear or stay around?
Yeah, right now it kicks in for a single person that kicks in with adjusted gross income of $200,000 and a married couple of adjusted gross income of $250,000.
I don't think I've seen anything so far indicating that to go away. At least not, I haven't seen that in the proposals as of today.
So you think that...
I know they're talking about getting rid of the actual Obamacare, you know, mandate to have insurance. It looks like from what I'm seeing on the House bill still has that part of it as, you know, they'd still penalize you if you don't have insurance, but then the Senate is totally wants to repeal the, you know, quote unquote Obamacare, health insurance mandate.
In anything that you've seen, does that 3.8% kick in at a higher income level than it currently does, do you think, or is it likely to be the same?
Well, I think, you know, obviously, if the Senate repeals the health insurance mandate, then this 3.8% tax theoretically should go away because it came out as a result of the health insurance mandate. So now that's, you know, again, under the Senate bill. So under the House bill, it's hard to say. I mean, I think that I haven't read anything about that at all on the House side. So it's kind of hard to say.
Okay.
To be honest with you.
Okay. I'm sure your clientele doesn't mimic the normal or the national average, but do you have any idea approximately what percentage of tax returns currently itemize?
I think that the most recent information that we saw from taxfoundation.org was actually from 2015. So that's as recent as what I've seen in terms of studies. And it looks like the percentage of filers who itemized was only about 30%. So, you know, not really representative of the tax returns that we see on a day-to-day basis, but that seems to be the national average.
Okay.
So it's fairly low.
Yeah, it is. What is currently tax deductible on federal tax returns? What can I itemize?
Yeah, right now there's the biggest itemized deductions that, you know, especially people who are in California are taking are obviously their mortgage interest deduction on their primary residence, their property taxes they pay on their primary residence, and, you know, second homes, and then state and local income taxes. So, you know, those of us lucky to live here in the state of California can pay up to 13.3% state income taxes on their money. So that's a deduction on your federal return for the taxes you pay to the state of California. Those are the three biggest ones. The other itemized deductions that kick in a lot are charitable contributions and donations, medical expenses to the extent that for most people, if they exceed 10% of somebody's adjusted gross income. There's some other miscellaneous things like investment fees, tax prep fees. You know, those are the main ones, I think.
Okay. What's deductible from a state of California tax return?
Yeah, so obviously, not surprisingly, California doesn't allow you to take a deduction for taxes you pay to California. So, They do let you take mortgage interest deduction and charitable donations. Those are the big ones for the state of California. So I think property taxes are still deductible for California.
Yeah, it's pretty much the only change is the income tax you pay to
California. But, again, for those of us in the state of California, that's a big adjustment, you know? I mean,
yes, it is. And that's why, that's why it's important. So the new tax law changes. It looks like we're getting a lower rate of 39.6 state to 35, but we're also saying that the deductions are changing. So what's disappearing and what is the standard deduction going to?
Right. So right now people can take on their tax return. You asked the question, who's itemizing and who's not. Well, what that means is that some people, 70% of the people in 2015 took their standard deduction, which for a single person's was around 65. It's right now it's at 6,500, and a married couple it's about 13,000, give or take. Probably a little bit different 2 years ago, just because those are slightly indexed for inflation. But so someone can take this their regular deduction the IRS gives you, or you can add up all your itemized deductions and take those. Now the itemized that might change, they're looking at adjusting the property tax deduction. So under one plan, the Senate plan, they're looking to just totally take away your deduction for your property taxes. Under the House bill, they're saying you can deduct it, but only up to $10,000 is deductible. So if you pay $20,000 in property taxes for your primary residence 1 year, you can only deduct, in that example, half of it. And then on the mortgage, the other biggest change is the mortgage interest side. The House wants to limit the interest deduction on the first $500,000 of new primary residence debt that you take on after essentially November of 2017. So right now you can deduct interest on basically up to $1.1 million of a loan for your primary residence. The House wants to essentially cut that in half. The Senate wants to keep it at around $1 million, but it's only applicable to your primary residence, one other residence, which is actually the current law. So that's on the Senate side, they're not looking to change it much, but on the House side, they want to essentially cut the loan balance in half for any new loans. But it's also only going to be on one property. You can't, deduct interest going forward on a vacation home that you're not renting out or something like that.
What about the ability to subtract the state tax on the federal on any of the new plans?
Yeah, that's a good point. So that would go away too. So really the only taxes you'd essentially be deducting going forward, at least under the House bill, would be the property taxes. And then on the Senate bill, that would be nothing, basically. They're going to take away the state income tax. They're going to take away your property tax deduction.
So what is the standard deduction likely to go to?
It's likely both plans are essentially just doubling.
Okay, so we'll have
about $12,200 for single and about $24,000 for a joint married couple.
Okay. So if 70% of the people are already in that plan, then that's going to increase. It's hard to say, but that could get to 90%, it would seem.
Yeah, that's a thing, right? Would it be, depending on where the people are living and, how much your income is. But yeah, that number seems like it would definitely go up as to what percentage of people are taking the standard deduction. So, on the face of it, are you if you're lowering tax, lowering top rates, increasing the standard deduction, it would seem like, people are going to get a tax break, which is what they're talking about. But as we know, it's kind of the unknown. It's like, until they really come out and finalize the actual income tax brackets and what they're taking away. But, you can lower rates, you can increase the standard deduction. But if you take away some other things, I think it's all going to kind of, it might be better for some people, but worse for other people, obviously,
Yeah, I guess that's what, I don't know if you've actually figured out who it's good for and who it's not good for. I was going to ask you about that. The certain income levels, if you've taken a look at it and say, okay, this is kind of a benefit for you, but not for somebody else. So,
I think we had something like that like 3 or 4 weeks ago, and then the House went and sort of tweaked their plan. Now, I did read something yesterday that the Joint Committee on Taxation, based on their analysis, at least for whatever reason, they're comparing 2018 and then 2027. So keep that in mind, a grain of salt. But 2018, they're saying the average taxes for most or not all income groups will go down in 2018 under the plan. But then by 2027, they're going to go back up for almost all income groups.
Okay, just because your income grows.
A Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Bruce.
No, I was just saying, is that just because your income grows to next bracket?
I think that might be it. It might also be that they're going to, you know, repeal some things too. You know, maybe some things are in place for less than 10 years, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, I think there was a chart that came out from Forbes recently that kind of shows different income tax bracket, you know, who's going to be paying more versus who's going to be paying less. And it looks like most people can expect a tax cut. The range where you may see your income tax go up for, this is interesting for single and married individuals. So for married, it's about 260 to 424. $424,000 of taxable income. So those people can expect to go from 33% up to 35%.
Okay.
And then for individual taxpayers, those making $200,000 to $425,000, a slight increase from 33% to 35%. So that's the hole, the little black hole right there, where you can expect to be paying higher than normal. But other, you know, the much lower income, much higher income should be expecting an overall lower tax bill.
Yeah, that's a kind of a major difference, even though the percentages sound close. If you lose all the other deductions and you go for 24 grand, that could just be a big deal. So I don't, you know, overall, is this supposed to be producing less revenue for the IRS or more?
The last thing I read was that overall, yes, it's producing less revenue for the government. So, you know, increasing the deficit at some point down the road. So, you know, how are they going to make up for that? You know, that's a different conversation, obviously. But yeah, that's what I read. That was cutting tax revenue. So theoretically, that means it's a tax break, right? I mean, but
yeah, I think it's interesting, you know, because when you know, you hear people talk about decreasing taxes for average Americans, for super wealthy. But if you actually look at the rates and how things fall out, I mean, I feel like those making between 200 and 400,000 are, you know, they're well off, but I wouldn't call them the super wealthy.
No, no, since in Orange County, you probably can barely qualify for a home.
Right. So yeah, it looks like it's kind of taxing, you know, not the ideal group at least.
Okay, what about corporate tax range tax changes?
Corporate, you know, it was really interesting. I think just as an overall theme of the tax cuts, is it looks like, you know, what we talked about so far, the taking away of a lot of deductions is really on the individual side. For businesses, they're really everything that's come out so far. I don't want to say everything, but most of what we're seeing come out in the proposals are actually beneficial. You know, in terms of deductions and rates. So the corporate rate currently is at 35%. That's the highest C corp rate right now. Under the proposal, both from the House and the Senate, they agree on a cut down to 20%.
Well, that's,
so that's actually,
it's like a 40% cut. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, when you have something like that, what about somebody's going to look at that and go, well, I'll just leave a lot of money in my C corp. Can you see that coming?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely a possibility, and it's a numbers game. But yeah, that's definitely, you know, that with a lower rate inside the corporation, depending on what they do with the tax brackets, are they going to still have special income treatment for dividends from corporations? That's an unknown, so that would play into it. That's why it's kind of an exciting time for us, because there's a lot of potential changes that we need to stay on top of and make sure we're, you know, advising our clients on. One thing for, you know, 10 people is going to be totally different for the other 10 people, you know.
Yeah. What's also interesting is, so the C corp rates, I mean, under the proposal, the C corp tax rates will be lower. But also, for the first time, we may see flow through entities pay a different tax rate than what the individuals were paying. So, you know, currently the flow through entities like LLCs, S corporations, partnerships, those are taxed at individual rates, which can be as high as 39.6%. So under the proposals, there may be a new tax rate for flow through entities with a max being 25%. So,
oh my
you know,
God.
If you're an individual, Yeah, so if you're an individual, let's say a realtor who makes a lot of income through an S-Corp and currently you're paying 39.6%, well, through an S-Corp, at least part of that income potentially could be lowered all the way down to 25%. And that's in addition to, they're also in the proposal, they're talking about increasing the dollar amount of expensing that are available. So, right now we have a 50% bonus depreciation. So if you buy a brand new large asset, maybe you can write off 50% of that as a depreciation, and then the rest you depreciate over the life of the asset. So there was also talks in the proposal about increasing that to 100% bonus depreciation with an immediate write-off. So those are all potentially very impactful tax savings from a business perspective.
Yeah, that's huge. My brain's working when you're talking. That would be a huge deal for the entrepreneur, let's say, in our business that takes income flipping houses from an S corp. You're saying that their taxes just might go down from 35 to 25. That's a big deal.
Yeah, and there's some restrictions they are talking about. They also want to define. So not all S-Corps and LLCs get the lower tax rate. They currently in the proposal, there are definitions of what types of income within the flow-through entity qualifies for the lower tax rate. So unfortunately, for service providers like physicians, attorneys, CPAs, service income currently would not qualify for the lower tax rate under the proposal. But the example you gave on someone who's doing fix and flip, for example, that appears to be one that could qualify for the lower tax rate. So the other thing just to mention that was a little bit shocking, I think, to us as CPAs is that the lower income of 25%, it looks like it would also apply to sole proprietorships too. So if you're someone who's flipping in your individual name as sole proprietorship, that profit still could be subject to or eligible for the lower tax rate as well.
That's huge. Okay. What about interest income coming from trustees? Let's say you have an LLC and you're earning interest, and right now it's all taxed in normal income. Does that fit that new criteria?
Good question. under the proposal, they have not mentioned investment income at all. So far, they've only differentiated between service versus sales income. We don't really know whether interest or rental income would be subject to the lower rates. If I had a guess, I would imagine no, since they haven't mentioned it yet. But that's something that I think we're kind of all sitting on the edge of our seats to figure out, what will they do with interest and rental income, since that's the most of the clientele we work with. And also, I said earlier about currently we have a 50% bonus depreciation on certain types of assets. Real estate, rental real estate is not one of those eligible assets. But it'll be interesting to see when they, under the proposal, if they move it up to 100% expensing, whether real estate or some part of real estate related assets could be eligible for that expensing, because that would also be a huge impact in terms of tax savings too.
We only got another minute and a half, but I think what's very interesting is the habits that might change. So once we know the rules of engagement, you could see people going, okay, I can't deduct California state tax anymore, but the standard deduction is the same no matter where I live. So maybe I'll move to a tax-free state. I could see that making sense to somebody. I could see the decision of not to own a house being contemplated because it doesn't matter anymore deduction-wise. And I know, the real estate world is really concerned about the Holy Grail that sort of got taken out. Somebody's touching that third rail. I don't know that's going to have that big of an impact at these interest rates, but it could very well at an interest rate of 8 if we see that someday.
And also not just reality, right? It's going to be based on what people are promoting out there, right? So if people are just talking, they took away the mortgage interest deduction, and the gist of it is going to be, don't buy a house because it's not, you can't take the interest deduction. And, we all know that's not a reason necessarily just to buy the house, but it helps, obviously,
Yeah, it's an added bonus that will no longer be there. So, you could see how people, it won't boost home sales. I guess that would make sense. Well, guys, we've covered it pretty well in 20 minutes. Thank you so much for joining us, and good luck with the upcoming tax season.
Thank you. We'll keep you updated.
For more information on hard money loans and upcoming events with the Norris Group, check out thenorrisgroup.com. For information on passive investing with trust deeds, visit tngtrustdeeds.com.